Our scripture this morning comes from the book of Numbers, chapter 20. Numbers, chapter 20. As you turn there, I believe you that remind you that we believe the Bible to be the Word of God. It is infallible and inerrant. It is our only rule of faith and practice. And though the grass withers and the flowers fade away, the Word of our God shall stand forever. Numbers chapter 20, we will read the entire chapter, reading from the English Standard Version. Hear the word of the Lord. And the people of Israel, the whole congregation, came into the wilderness of Zin in the first month, and the people stayed in Kadesh. And Miriam died there and was buried there. Now there was no water for the congregation. And they assembled themselves together against Moses and against Aaron. And the people quarreled with Moses and said, "Would that we had perished when our brothers perished before the Lord. Why have you brought the assembly of the Lord into this wilderness that we should die here, both we and our cattle? And why have you made us come up out of Egypt to bring us to this evil place? It is no place for grain or figs or vines or pomegranates. There is no water to drink." Then Moses and Aaron went from the presence of the assembly to the entrance of the tent of meeting and fell on their faces. And the glory of the Lord appeared to them, and the Lord spoke to Moses, saying, "Take the staff and assemble the congregation, you and Aaron, your brother, and tell the rock before their eyes to yield its water. So you shall bring water out of the rock for them and give drink to the congregation and their cattle." And Moses took the staff from before the Lord as he commanded him. Then Moses and Aaron gathered the assembly before the rock. And he said to them, "Hear now, you rebels. Shall we bring water for you out of this rock?" And Moses lifted up his hand and struck the rock with his staff twice. And water came out abundantly. And the congregation drank and their livestock. And the Lord said to Moses and Aaron, "Because you did not believe in me to uphold me as holy in the eyes of the people of Israel, therefore you shall not bring this assembly into the land that I have given them. These are the waters of Meribah, where the people of Israel quarreled with the Lord, and through them he showed himself holy." Moses sent messengers from Kadesh to the king of Edom. "Thus says your brother Israel, you know all the hardships that we have met, how our fathers went down to Egypt, and we lived in Egypt a long time. And the Egyptians dealt harshly with us and our fathers. And when we cried to the Lord, he heard our voice, and he sent an angel and brought us out of Egypt. And here we are in Kadesh, a city on the edge of your territory. Please let us pass through your land. We will not pass through field or vineyard or drink water from a well. We will go along the king's highway. We will not turn aside to the right hand or to the left until we have passed through your territory." But Edom said to him, "You shall not pass through, lest I come out with the sword against you." And the people of Israel said to him, "We will go up by the highway, and if we drink of your water, I and my livestock, then I will pay for it. Let me only pass through on foot, nothing more." But he said, "You shall not pass through." And Edom came out against them with a large army and with a strong force. Thus Edom refused to give Israel passage through his territory, so Israel turned away from him. And they journeyed from Kadesh, and the people of Israel, the whole congregation, came to Mount Hor. And the Lord said to Moses and Aaron at Mount Hor, on the border of the land of Edom, let Aaron be gathered to his people, for he shall not enter the land that I have given to the people of Israel, because you rebelled against my command at the waters of Meribah. Take Aaron and Eleazar, his son, and bring them up to Mount Hor, and strip Aaron of his garments and put them on Eleazar, his son, and Aaron shall be gathered to his people and shall die there. Moses did as the Lord commanded, and they went up Mount Hor in the sight of all the congregation. And Moses stripped Aaron of his garments and put them on Eleazar, his son, and Aaron died there on the top of the mountain. Then Moses and Eleazar came down from the mountain, and when all the congregation saw that Aaron had perished, all the house of Israel wept for Aaron 30 days. Let us pray. Lord, we thank you for the solemn, sobering reading of Holy Scripture. We thank you for your word. We thank you that your word accomplishes its purposes. Lord, we pray that you would set aside these moments, remove earthly distractions, and use the preaching of your word to sanctify us, to teach us, to grow us more into the likeness of your Son, Jesus Christ. We pray this in his holy name. Amen. We come to Numbers chapter 20. And this marks the end of the almost 40 years of wilderness wanderings that have been chronicled from chapter 14 up until this point. 40 years of wanderings, 40 years of failures. Almost every incident that we have looked at and that's recorded here is an incident of failure, wrong choices, sinful actions, disobedience, rebellion. And at the end of 40 years, we see here in verse 1 that Israel finds herself right back at Kadesh, the exact location where she failed almost 40 years ago. 40 years of wandering, 40 years of wilderness, and here she finds herself right back where she started. Hundreds of thousands have died by this point, mostly of old age over the course of the 40 years, but many, as we have seen, have died as a direct result of God's judgments, whether it be plagues or fires or the earth swallowing them up. But over the course of this 40 years, they have been living out God's decree that they would not enter into the promised rest because of their failure to take Canaan 40 years ago. And so here comes the remaining few of that first generation, and then an entirely new second generation. And they find themselves back at this same point, on the edge of Canaan. And the question that is answered for us here in chapter 20 is, what have they learned in the course of this 40 years? And I see some of you smirk, because you know that the sad answer is, they've learned absolutely nothing. At least not this first generation. And the failure to learn is really highlighted here in this incident of the water coming from the rock. And this should sound familiar to you, the story of water coming from the rock, because this is almost a mirror image of a very similar incident that happened 40 years ago, at the beginning of their journeys, just out of Egypt. Back in Exodus 17, the people quarreled with Moses and they quarreled with the Lord. And they said to Moses, "We're dying of thirst. We have nothing to drink. Have you brought us out here into this wilderness just to die?" And the Lord graciously told Moses to bring the people to the rock of Horeb. And on that occasion, he told Moses to strike the rock one time. Moses obeyed the Lord's commands to a T, and streams of water gushed forth from the rock, and the people drank. Well, now 40 years later, a very similar incident. 40 years later, the people are still quarreling, the people are still complaining, the people are still rebelling, and if anything, it's only gotten worse. The problem's the same, there is no water. The response is the same, the people quarrel, and they complain. "Have you brought us into this wilderness to die? Have you brought us and our cattle here that we might perish?" But then you see, if anything, the people have only gotten worse. Not only do they complain about the water here, but we see them piling on all kinds of complaints. In verse 5, he says, the people say, "Why have you made us come up out of Egypt to bring us to this evil place?" Not only does it not have water, there's no grain, there are no figs, there are no vines, there are no pomegranates. Just complaint after complaint after complaint. "We don't have this. We don't have that. This isn't what we want." In fact, this sounds so familiar to the complaints we saw back in chapter 16 with Korah and Dathan and Abiram and all the people as they complained to Moses, "Why have you brought us out for failure? Why have you brought us out to die? Why haven't you given us this and that?" And in fact, they even identify themselves in verse 3 with those very same people that were consumed by the fire of the Lord, swallowed up live by the earth, and struck down by a plague. They say in verse 3, "Would that we had perished with our brothers." You hear what they're saying? "We would rather die by consumption of the Lord's fire and be swallowed alive by the earth and be struck down by a plague from the Lord than to be in this wilderness with no water and pomegranates. Worse than it's ever been. Full of woe, full of complaining, accusing, blame shifting, further than they have ever been in the course of this 40-year period than where they should be, which is trusting in the Lord, giving thanks to the Lord, praying to the Lord, seeking the Lord to deliver them, trusting in His goodness, trusting in His power, trusting in His sovereignty, in every situation, trusting in His goodness regardless of the circumstances, trusting in His provision, trusting that the Lord is always more gracious and always more merciful than we deserve. And they couldn't be further from that. But even more sadly, the main focus of this chapter is not so much the sin of the people as it is the sin of the leadership and the response of Moses and Aaron. The Lord gives very clear instructions, very simple. "Speak to the rock. And out of my grace and out of my mercy, I will provide streams of water. And the first two commands are carried out very carefully. The Lord tells Moses to take the staff. Moses takes the staff. And he and Aaron gather the people together, just as the Lord tells them to do. But then Moses begins to waver. Instead of bringing water out of the rock simply by speaking to it, Moses launches into this impromptu speech and starts denouncing and judging the people as rebels. The Lord didn't tell him to do that. In fact, the Lord was very clear. Extend my grace and my mercy to these people in the way that demonstrates to them without question that it is grace and mercy that comes from me and from me alone. And yet Moses takes it upon himself to become a judge of the people, to denounce them as rebels, and then in his frustration he takes his staff and a clear and public display of disobedience to the Lord. He strikes the rock twice and says, "We will make water come forth from this rock." What you see here is that after 40 years of wandering in the desert, Moses and Aaron have been drawn into the same complaining, the same sins, the same rebellion as the Israelites that they denounce. And Moses looks no more different than a pagan magician who, with a little extra biblical mumbo jumbo, can make God dance. And the Lord says in verse 12, "Because you did not believe in me to uphold me as holy in the eyes of the people of Israel, therefore you shall not bring this assembly into the land that I have given." Moses and Aaron would suffer the same fate of the entire first generation. And it doesn't stop there. In verse 14, we see another episode. This encounter with the Edomites. The Lord tells Moses, "You're not going to enter into the land." He tells Aaron, "You're not going to enter into the land." And what does Moses do? In verse 14, he packs up and he presses on toward the land that the Lord just told him, "You're not going to inherit." You see the parallel to 40 years ago? It's just like 40 years ago when the Israelites rebelled and refused to enter into the land, and the Lord warned them, "You're not going to take this land." And what did they do? They sent in an army to go take the land by their own strength. And they were defeated and they were turned back. And now we see the same mistake in Moses and the leadership of Israel. They attempt to force their way into the land by their own strength. The Lord didn't instruct them to do this. The Lord's not with them in this. If the Lord had been with them, it wouldn't have mattered that Edom sent this large and powerful army out against them to turn them back. And Israel's turned away in their attempt to press forward and go into the promised land. Fails under their own strength. You see, what Numbers 20 shows us is the judgment of the Lord on that first wilderness generation reaching its climax when it falls upon the very highest leaders. What Numbers 20 shows us is that Moses and Aaron joined the rebels in their sin. And they paid the very same price that those rebels would pay. Because the truth of the matter is, the wages of sin is death. And that's not just true for followers, but it's true for leaders as well. No one's exempt. And what we see here is it's not the lack of water that threatened death in the wilderness. It was unbelief and disobedience. Forty years had passed, and here is Israel right back at the starting point. They're worse off now than they ever have been. The old generation is fading away. In fact, if you'll turn with me to Psalm chapter 90. In Psalm chapter 90, this is the only psalm written by Moses. And in Psalm chapter 90, we see an epitaph written for this wilderness generation. How sad. Moses writes in verse 5 of Psalm 90, of this dying generation, you sweep them away as with a flood. They are like a dream, like grass that is renewed in the morning. In the morning it flourishes and is renewed. In the evening it fades and withers. For we are brought to an end by your anger, by your wrath we are dismayed. You have set our iniquities before you, our secret sins in the light of your presence. For all our days pass away under your wrath. We bring our years to an end like a sigh. Just like grass withering and dying, just like the sigh of a last breath, we see this generation tragically and sadly ending their 40-year journey. In defeat. And in the midst of all of this death, in the midst of this utter disgrace that dominates the whole chapter, we still see glimmering lights of hope. You don't want to miss that. Here's Israel coming up upon the promised land for a second time. And she's burdened and barraged by all of these discouraging events. And by any human standards, the temptation would be to turn around and give up and to stop and to turn back yet again. But God had better plans for his people. And we see grace here. We see mercy. We see hope. The people sinned. The leaders sinned. And yet God in his grace provides for them streams of water from the rock. Unmerited favor for his people in their time of need. And no, Moses would not lead his people into the promised land, but the promise still stands. And we know that very soon the Lord is going to raise up Joshua to take his place. And his promise is not going to be thwarted. And yes, Aaron is now dead at the end of chapter 20. But the next generation is ready to take up his priestly work through his son Eleazar. And we see in this solemn ceremony of hope the garment being passed from the father to the son. The Lord is going to fulfill his promise. In fact, while the deaths here of Miriam and Aaron and the promised death of Moses shows to us that the wages of sin is death, they also mark a real turning point in the history of Israel. It's the end of that old generation, but it's also the beginning of the next generation. And that looks forward to hope, that points forward to the promise that this next generation is going to succeed where her parents failed. That there's a new generation and there's a new succession of leaders that the Lord is going to raise up. And starting in the next chapter, chapter 21, things will begin to look up for Israel. There's a new day and there's a new dawning and there's a new generation and there's a new hope, not because of the Lord's faith in his people, but because of the Lord's faithfulness to his own promise. The Lord would accomplish this. And what we see here is the same truth that's been reiterated time and time again throughout the pages of this book, that not only is the Lord far more gracious than we believe, but the Lord is always far more gracious than we ever deserve. There's hope on the horizon for his people. And really, this all points to Jesus Christ. You see, the failure of the leaders, the failure of Miriam, the failure of Aaron, the failure of Moses, the failure at the highest levels of spiritual leadership in Israel points to the fact that we need a better leader than Moses. And you see how this argument is building through the pages of Scripture. Because when you come to the book of Hebrews, that's exactly the point that the author makes chapter after chapter. Is that as great as Moses was, much greater than me, much greater than any of you, more holy, more sanctified, a better leader, more prominent, an unbelievable, humble man of God, as great as he was, he failed. And yet the good news of the gospel is that a much greater leader has come in Jesus Christ. And the Apostle Paul tells us in 1 Corinthians 10:4 that Jesus is actually part of this story in Numbers chapter 20. That Christ is the rock that went with his people on their spiritual journey. That it was Christ who provided them with streams of living water. That it was Jesus Christ who was the rock from which his people drank, and from him flows the living water that we need to quench our thirsty souls. The living water that we need to sustain us through this barren land, to sustain us through this wilderness, that we must look to him, that we must submit to him, that we must trust in him and trust in his goodness and trust in his mercy, even in the most difficult circumstances. Believing his timing to be perfect, believing his provision to be perfect, ever thankful for his sovereign omnipotent, omniscient, omnipresence. Ever thankful for his death and his resurrection. Because we know that the day is coming when our earthly struggles will be over. The day is coming when we will enter into that promised rest, that promised land. There'll be no more suffering, no more tears, no more hardships, no more sadness, no more sleepless nights, no more brokenness. All of our earthly struggles will be over. All of our earthly frustrations will come to an end. And we will enter into that promised rest forever. That's our hope. That's what keeps us going. That's what we look forward to. That's what we cling to. And until then, the gospel of grace, the gospel of Jesus Christ, the water that flows from the rock, comforts our thirsty souls step by step by step as we drink from Jesus Christ our Lord. Let us pray. Lord, we thank you for your word. We thank you for your promises to your children. May we be ever faithful to you. Sustain us every step of the way. We pray in Christ Jesus' name. Amen.